Welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast, where we help coaches intentionally and effectively use sports to transform lives.
It was a quote about, I heard it on the radio, but they were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and they said one thing that the Chiefs are really good at is finding value where other people don't in their players. And so you see, I actually wrote that down on my whiteboard at school, is just find value where other people don't. Like, sometimes we get so focused on like who the leaders are that you forget that there's value in every single person. And so I try to take that approach versus like one person being the voice of the team and being in charge.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Community for Coaches podcast. I'm Ryan Kraskowski here with Alec Lemon, and we have with us another finalist for 2024 Metro Kansas City Coach of the Year. We are joined by Coach Aaron Davidson of Blue Valley West. Aaron coaches cross country and is the head track coach working with distance runners. Aaron, it is great, and I mean great, to have you with us today. Really looking forward to our conversation. Thanks for joining us, and I'm going to go ahead and send it over to Alec.
Aaron, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. We're excited to kind of hear more about your story and how you got into coaching and kind of, you know, some different places you've coached over the years. So could you share with just the audience kind of how you got into coaching and some of the places you've been over the years?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for having me. Just a little bit about my background. I would say I knew at a young age that I wanted to be a coach. Like most people, if you've had some good coaches along the way, they kind of inspire you to kind of follow that same path. So I probably knew, I would say as early as middle school, that it was kind of something that I wanted to pursue. In high school, I thought I was going to be a basketball player. And so my biggest influence was probably my high school basketball coaches, one in particular, but found out I was better at distance running than I was at basketball, and ended up going to Fort Hays State. I ran cross country and track there. My last year of college, I coached basketball at Hays High. And then I moved to Kansas City to finish my student teaching, and I coached a year at Blue Valley West. After Blue Valley West, I went to Shawnee Mission North for 15 years. And I was an assistant for a part of those years, and then I was the head track and head cross country coach there. And just this last year, I accepted a job at Blue Valley West. And so I'm in my first season at West. And then I would also say I've coached many years of youth sports through college, through the summers, and then also with my own kids. So it's just something that's I've always valued and been passionate about.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
What would you say, just kind of your experiences with high school versus youth? What are your thoughts there on kind of, you know, what have you enjoyed both of them equally, or one more than the other? Or what would your thoughts
be? I think with high school sports, I hate to use the word cutthroat, but it is a little bit more intense. With the youth sports, it's much more about fun and teaching the skills and whatnot. Not that it's not about that in high school. I don't know why this quote is standing out to me, but I saw a quote the other day that said, when you're teaching kids to read and write and do math, you don't yell at them. So why do coaches yell at kids when they're trying to teach them sports? I've never been much of a yeller, or like, I would say I'm intense, but it's not like what you would expect. I think sometimes the high school sports can go to that level where it is yelling and the intensity is much higher. I think with the youth sports, it's just teaching them the values of winning and losing, how to be able to do both, teaching them the skills. And then a lot of those kids are trying it out. They're trying to find a sport that they're going to land on. I don't know that at the very young age that they're so specific that, you know, like, that you can even get that serious with them. And usually as a parent, with youth sports, it's always kind of a weird mix of like friends from school or you know, like you're teaming up with people for different reasons, whether you just all got thrown on a team with a bunch of strangers or if it's with friends from school. So there's always that dynamic that makes the youth sports interesting. So I guess I talked a little bit about both, but yeah, I think that answers your question. Sorry.
Interesting is a very good word, an appropriate word for the youth sports dynamic. I know we
for sure. Yeah. What are some experiences you had maybe playing or coaching that have been important in shaping kind of your philosophy or approach to coaching?
Well, when I was younger, I played with friends. I mean, I was, you know, I played with kids that were in my school, and my best friends were on my sports teams. And it was always just easy. It was exciting. I mean, that was like us hanging out, was going to sports practices and whatnot. So, you know, that's who we hung out with on the weekends and that's who we traveled with. So it was always exciting. When I got to college, it was different because I was with strangers and I had to kind of figure out like new relationships and whatnot. I would say it took me some time to convince myself that I was a distance runner in college. And so trying to become friends and almost like take on a different, not different identity, but it's just like, I was going from like thinking I was a basketball player and kind of living that life, to it's not that I didn't think I was a runner, but, my focus, I would say, was more on basketball, to full-time runner in college and hanging around those guys. And I worked really hard as an underclassman. And I just tried to be the guy that came in and just like tried to hang with the guys that were faster than me. And then as I got later into college, I tried to become more of a leader. And I would say something that I've learned from that was very impactful for me was how bad of a leader I actually was. I thought that I could just kind of be demanding or just like expect other people to jump on board with what we were trying to do. And just like, I don't want to say boss people around, but like, I thought I would try and be a voice and try to be a leader on the team. And I think in the process, I probably rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. So in terms of learning leadership, I found a lot of ways that don't work and I failed in that aspect. Cause I was just probably a jerk, some people would say. I mean, I was just worked really hard and expected other people to come do it also. And when they didn't, I would get upset. And so, and it became confrontational at times. So, I was not probably the best teammate in college. It's not that I didn't work hard and that I did not that I didn't care. It's just, I didn't go about it the right way with the other people on my team.
Right. Right. What do you think? How is that? Like, that was an example of you learned what not to do, but like, what was the transition moment? Like, when did you start to maybe change your approach?
Yeah. How did you apply those lessons learned, or how do you now?
Yeah. So I use that example with a lot of kids. When I'm coaching, my emphasis is on trying to create that environment where, you know, we don't have team captains. We didn't have team captains in college. I guess I kind of self-appointed myself. I tried, not that I thought I was the captain, but I tried to be the guy that brought us all together, like a captain might do. But on my teams, I do not do captains. I think everybody brings something to the table that hopefully they can contribute to the team. And so the emphasis of the team is huge for me in terms of my philosophy with the environment and culture that I want to try and build on our teams. Just finding value in every kid. Another quote that I saw, actually it was a quote about, I heard it on the radio, but they were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and they said, one thing that the Chiefs are really good at is finding value where other people don't in their players. And so you see, I actually wrote that down on my whiteboard at school, is just find value where other people don't. Like, sometimes we get so focused on like who the leaders are that you forget that there's value in every single person. And so I try to take that approach versus like one person being the voice of the team and being in charge. So I can't emphasize enough how much the team aspect like is in my, I guess, coaching philosophy.
Do you think that's sometimes difficult in like a sport like running, where there is a sense of individualism maybe that is sort of natural to that? Because it is kind of you know, it's not like you're actively sharing a ball or something like that. You know what I mean? Or
right.
Another sport. I think
this is a good question. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but how do you make something feel like a team sport when many would not view it as a team sport?
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking specifically, let's say cross country,
sure.
Kind of a common mistake I think people make is they just say whoever the fastest kid is the leader of the team. But if you're looking at a cross country team, like your number five runner is actually more important than your number one runner, because their points matter to the team score as well. And I've had some number one runners who are really just not. They're either really passive and quiet, they're really good at running, but they just have no voice. Or sometimes that they might be a number one runner that's just kind of abrasive in their, you know, just their relation or their encounters with other people, and they're just not very friendly. Like they're almost too competitive that they, like, nobody wants to be around them. And so there's that dynamic of like getting the kids to understand, like, I'm going to run for you and you're going to run for me. And at the end, like, we're going to have a team result. It's not, yes, it's an individual result, but there is a team score at the end of it all. And once they start to realize that, that's when, you know, like they kind of, it becomes pride in the team instead of pride in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I feel like All my siblings played soccer, but I had one that did cross country and track, and I would say he was a little more introverted, not quite as social. And I wonder if, you know, kind of sports like that are a little more, it's on you to run it, you know, like it's not like you don't have to depend on someone to go and do your training. You know what I mean? You can do it on your own. It's a very much an individual thing to go out and run on your own in the summer, unless you build that community. But it's almost like it's something like a muscle that maybe is not as naturally developed as a team sport is now. You have to have a social element when you're playing a team sport. You don't have to in running, but it's really important that you do. And it seems like it really makes your team so much better if you build that team camaraderie. Is there anything you do to build the team camaraderie to like get them to more, you know, do events together, or kind of what's kind of the culture building things for you other than just sharing your own story, which I think is great. You know, you're sharing your own story. You're talking about, you know, you're being vulnerable with them on like your journey. But how else do you help build, you know, the team camaraderie with the athletes?
So, I mean, a lot of teams do this in cross country, but we have a team dinner every week. The entire team is invited. It's not, we don't make it exclusive to like, this is a varsity only, or we open it up to the entire team. So every week I tell the parents at the beginning of the season, like, we're going to have a team dinner every single week. It's going to get like, by the end of it, you've had like 9 or 10 weeks of team dinners. And I say, if we're going to do something as a team, let's all be about it. Let's not put something out there, but then we get like 50% showing up. Like if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And so making it like, I want the team dinners to be fun and inviting, and I want everybody to look forward to those. So that's one thing. Another thing is, I think taking trips is fun. I think trips bring people together. So we take, I haven't established it at Blue Valley West yet, but at Shawnee Mission North, we would do a summer like team camp where we would go stay at a cabin on a lake for, you know, 4 or 5 days. And I think that helps bring us together. We travel up to Minnesota for a meet. So an overnight trip there. And then we take kids up to the Nike regional meet. And so traveling is fun because it always kind of keeps that next exciting, I guess, team event, kind of dangling that out in front of them. And they understand, like, we're only going to take the ones that show their commitment. Like, if they've been all in, like, you're welcome to go with this, you know. Like, if you're kind of like half in, half out, like those kids kind of like, I hate to say it, but like they kind of like see the, I hate to say like the writing on the wall, but it's just like, again, going back to what I said, if we're going to do something, let's do it. Like, we took, you know, we took like 30 plus kids up to South Dakota this year for our trip. And at Shawnee Mission North, we were taking like 50 kids on a road trip, and it just seems crazy, but it's just like, if we're all going to do it, let's do it type thing. So, making them want to be around each other and have fun and look forward to those types of things. We also try to make practice fun. We call it theme Thursdays, where we do like Jersey Day or Hawaiian Day. And it's just like, kind of get the kids. I know other sports, I guess I don't know if other sports do that type of stuff or not, but I think that kind of takes the pressure. It kind of keeps the mood light at practice, where kids can kind of come have fun and like hat day or crazy sock day or something, just something to like keep things fresh and exciting, and everybody's participating again. Like, it's just like, if we're going to do something, let's be about it. I don't like doing things half-heartedly. So
yeah.
That, I think that helps. It makes it opens it up. Like, if you're best runner and your worst runner are doing the same thing, it's one thing they can kind of do together. They can't run together, not going to be on the same starting line together, but they can kind of participate in those things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's something funny about doing, you know, crazy hair day or crazy sock day. So I kind of was like a more serious athlete. I think I felt like that was dumb, but in high school we did stuff like that. And what it does is it, like, I think it gives people permission to make fun in a way in which it is received better. Cause it's like, you know, you look like an idiot, you know what I mean? You've done this. And I think that changes the dynamic, when you can actually, laugh together with people, you know, and have fun, and people aren't, cause it is hard in high school, because people tend to be, you have insecurities and you don't want to make some fun of somebody, you know, if they're wrestling with an insecurity. But when you intentionally dress up, you know, and do that, it kind of does, I think, cut through some of the social tension that's there in a positive way, and makes it easier. But I didn't understand that as a kid. You know, I think now I understand how it affects a team in a positive way. But yeah, do you see that happen? Like, what would be the, in your mind, why do you do that? I'm curious.
I mean, I think what you just said is spot on. I mean, I think, those kids they're not going to run together. But I want them to feel like they're teammates and see a different side of each other. If all they do is come to practice and warm up, go for a run and go home, like, we didn't do anything team to connect them team wise. Or if we don't have, if we only have dinners for a certain part, like the boys team or the girls team, like, that's one of the cool things, is like, it's a co-ed sport. We practice together. We do everything together. Like, you don't see the girls and boys basketball teams doing anything together. So I think with teenagers, there's also that side of it too, is like, it is social. Like, I want it to be social. I think running is more fun when it's social. I know running by myself is not nearly as much fun as running with other people, or even just warming up or meeting other people, like, at the start. You know, it's just like, it makes it more exciting and easier to do.
What would be, you know, as we talked about your coaching, different strategies you've used, you know, how you do things, but like, what's kind of your why for coaching? Like, kind of what gets you up to get out there and keep doing it?
I think kids have potential that they don't see in themselves. I think sometimes it takes somebody else to either spark that or, kind of, I know for me, if I didn't have coaches that were kind of pressing me along the way and motivating me, I don't think that I would have been a college athlete. I don't think that I would have been a coach, but there was that potential. And it took somebody to kind of just like bring that out of me. So I think that's my why. I guess the other part of that would be, I think there's a lot of character building that can come through sports. And so if you can help kids, if you can help build their character and help them see their potential, like, you're making a difference. So I feel like through coaching, I make a difference and I kind of help some of those kids in that process.
Yeah. I hear those three things would be like value. I heard you talked about that, like that helping players and athletes like find their value to the team and helping other people value what other people bring. And then that comes kind of together with potential as well. And then, yeah, building character. I mean, that's, you can definitely see that in how you talk about things. So yeah, it's good. What would you say is kind of, what else has been important kind of in your, journey as a coach, you know, that you'd like to share with us?
I mean, I feel like now would be a good time to mention my own kids. I think you're not your, but I think my perspective as a coach changed a lot when I started having kids. When I became a parent, and my kids were doing it, like I had, that was a whole new dynamic to me, or a whole new experience. I'd been the athlete, I had been the coach, but I had never been the parent. And so, knowing when to push your kid and what things to say to them, going back to character building, you know, that as a coach, you deal with parents and you say things to kids, but there's that other side of it that you sometimes don't see as the coach, or you never think about. You may or may not think about it, but it's just like, it really changes, your view on maybe what's important. When you talk about the value of a kid or an athlete, the parent, like that kid is that parent's most valuable. Like that's their MVP, whether they're good or not. And that's how I felt as a parent. But you have to also like kind of be able to curb those emotions as a parent, support your kid without, you know, ruining it for them or being too much of an influence. So that really changed how I view things. And honestly, I think I don't want to say this in like a, make it sound like a bad thing, but like your view on winning and losing, I think the view on winning and losing changed a little bit, when I started having kids, because it became more about like, what are they really getting out of it? Like, you want your kids to learn to win and lose, but you also want them to be able to like accept it and use it for either motivation or, you know, you want it to fire them up or make them want to try harder, but you don't want it to become like an arrogance thing. Like, and so just teaching the character side, as a parent, as a coach, teaching kids how to handle that, I think that really changed for me.
Yeah.
Well, speaking as a dad myself, I'm with you 100%. I see sports so differently than I did, you know, prior to watching my kids play. It's an entirely, as you mentioned really well, Aaron, it's an entirely different experience. The way that I put it is, when I'm in the stands watching my children, I don't want to be in sports fan mode. I'm still in dad mode. And it's so easy, I think, for myself and quite honestly, for a lot of the people I'm watching around me, it's so easy to slip into sports fan mode. And that's not what we're there for. That's not our role. We're still the parent in that. You know, is it exciting to watch a kid make a great play, whether it's my son or somebody else or whatever? Of course, yeah, that's great. As I'm driving home, is it maybe a little bit more fun if my kid's team won as opposed to losing? Yeah, probably. But ultimately that's not, yeah, like that's a long way of saying that I'm with you, and I do. I see it very, very differently. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's good stuff.
Yeah. What advice do you have for young coaches or new coaches getting into it? What's something that could help them, you know, get off to a good start?
If I'd have known this at an earlier age, I mean, I think just practicing being humble. I think if I'd have known that, when I first started, I think I figured it out, but, it's not something that was ever on my mind. Like I wanted to win. I wanted to be like, I remember one of my first years coaching, I was like so into a race one time, and our guys, like we missed qualifying for state, like by like a fraction of a second or something. And I had a clipboard and I just like snapped it over my knee. And I'm just like, I remember my principal was like, I love that energy. I love that passion. Like, and I was like, I look back at that, like, that's how he, like, so he kind of praised that as a good thing. Like we didn't make it, but I like the fire and whatnot. And I look back and I'm like, I'm not proud of that moment, but like just being humble and understanding the big picture and like maybe not like getting so heated or so tied to the result. Like I probably needed to be more accepting and just like be there for the kids at that moment. And I think like, never getting too high or too low, just kind of being like, I don't know how to describe it, but just like being humble and knowing that like you're going to have days where like it goes really well for you, and you're going to have days where you miss qualifying by a fraction of a second, and just being able to accept those moments. And I think that the team success is not me also. I just think knowing that at a young age is hard because you're so fiery and you just want to win and you want to prove yourself.
Yeah. And Aaron, I think your clipboard snapping example is a good one in that, you know, and I'm not trying to put this on you. This is me now speaking for me. When I've had those moments where the fire comes out and I do something that is aggressive or whatever, the question that I ask myself, you know, because somebody could look at me and say something similar to what you heard, which is, wow, that's great. I love the fire. I love the energy. I love the passion. And those are good things. The question that I ask myself as I'm kind of doing a introspection and self-examination is, was I in control or was I out of control? Because if I snapped that clipboard because I had a moment of fit of whatever and I was out of control, then that's where I need to take a pause. And again, this is just me not putting this on you or anybody else, but that's where I need to take a breath and go, okay, wait a second. Yeah, that person thought it was good, but I was out of control, and that's never good. And so that's kind of my own process. You know, when I'm reflecting upon those types of events. So I don't know if that resonates with you at all, but that's the question I ask myself.
Yeah. I think if that happened now, I don't think I would break a clipboard. I think I would walk over and put my arm around a kid and, you know, try to lift them back up, you know, like being, like you said, being in control. So, and I think at that point I'll be completely honest. At that point, I was probably more upset because I was trying to prove myself, like, prove that I was like, I felt like my own self-worth was tied to that relay team's, you know, result. And so like, that was hard to handle. That's probably why I acted the way I did.
Right. That's a great point. Yeah. Am I upset because of what this says about, what happened to these kids, or am I upset because of how it reflects upon me? That's another, you talk about a question for a coach to ask himself. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
And what's the best use of your time? Is your best use of your time in that moment? Because that's like a significant moment, you know, like where the whole team is feeling disappointed, right? So sounds like now you would want to use that time to think about others versus like express your personal, you know, frustration, you know, for yourself, you know. Yeah. And I think that's just maturity, right? I think that takes time, you know, to get over yourself and have the awareness to want to focus on others. You know, that's like a real leader, you know. So, yeah, it's good.
Hopefully, I'm not saying it's never going to happen again, but.
Yeah. No, I, like a year or two ago, we were in a state championship and this kid did the exact thing I wanted him to not do. Like, don't do this. And then he did exactly that. And it was like, kick this water bottle. It's like, oh, and the parents liked it because I usually don't get that way. But, you know, I think, no, I wouldn't do it again because the kids still, the team still needed me to be focused on them, you know, but it happens. It happens, I think, to the best of us. So good lessons to learn from. Mm-hmm. Any other questions you got for us, Ryan, before I give this last one?
No, I think we're ready for the, I think we're ready for the finale here.
Okay. So, what do you think is the difference between being transformational versus transactional as a coach?
I mean, transformational would be kind of like the coach that I described that I had at a young age that inspired me. He lit a fire in me to make me want to continue it and pursue it. And he had an impact on me, like a lasting impact. I think a transactional coach is like the coach that maybe you get at a basketball camp that you work at for like a session. Like, yeah, they're going to critique you. They're going to coach you in that moment. And then you're going to walk away and you might not even remember their name. You may take the skill you learned with you, or you may not. It's a very brief encounter that does not have a lasting impact. And so, yeah, I think that's the difference is somebody, and sometimes that's easier because you spend more time with some coaches and it's easier for them to be more transformative because they spend more time with you. But I think a good coach can take a short period of time and still even have like some transformative influence on you. Yeah. So I think that's the main difference.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's really good.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up.
All right. Hey, thanks, Aaron. Great to be with you.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. If you want to learn more about Community for Coaches or our guest, you can check the show notes. I'll put some links in there to our website and contact info. And until next time, keep coaching with purpose.